welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 13 of TTM Cast, the podcast of the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host for the program. I'm happy to let you know that this is my 50th episode. Now, we started this in January of last year of 2019, and happy to say we made 50 episodes. So if you've been with us since the beginning, I thank you. Thank all the guests that I've had on the program in the previous 50 episodes. If you're new to the program, we talk TTM, we talk autographs, we talk sports, we talk collecting. So today we have a collector's corner. We have a TTM collector. We have Bill from Brave Star Cards. Bill was my actually second guest on my program way back in January of 2019, and I brought him back to catch up to see what he's doing, to talk TTM and collecting with him, and hopefully you enjoy our episode. Bill has a great site, bravestarcards.com. I recommend you check it out. It's Brave Star with two R's, and he is on Instagram and on Twitter, so hopefully you'll enjoy that interview coming up. If you have any feedback, questions, concerns, comments about this program or any other program, or you'd just like to be a guest on a future program, please send me an email to ttmcast@yahoo.com. My email address, once again, is ttmcast@yahoo.com. I am all over the place. You can find us on Twitter at CastTTM. I am on Facebook in many groups. I'm on many TTM and collecting groups that I'm posting on all the time. My podcast can be found everywhere podcasts are found. If you have an Alexa device, all you have to do is say, Alexa, play TTM Cast Podcast, and you can hear this show or any of our shows that we've already recorded. So please tell your friends, spread the word. Also, we are on Sports Card Forum. We have a forum link on Sports Card Forum. So if you want to talk about the podcast, please go to sportscardforum.com and check that out. And now on to our first segment, which is always Baker's Dozen, which is kind of a brain dump of what's been happening in the past week or so. I did not do a show last week because of the Easter holiday. We've been sequestered like everyone else. We're missing baseball. We had a little time to spend with our families. My wife made a delicious Easter dinner. And it was, I took a break from having the podcast last week, figuring everyone was going to be involved in their family one way or the other. So we're back this week, obviously, and our next show will be next Sunday, April 26th. I have a current Major League Baseball catcher and Olympian. So I actually spoke to him on Friday. We had a nice interview, and we talked about his career. We talked about collecting and him signing autographs, and I think you'll enjoy the show. So that'll be on next week's show, Sunday, April 26th. Couple things that I've noticed that were kind of cool in regards to coverage of the hobby. Sports Collectors Digest had a nice article on the 1964 Topps coins set. Kind of a neat article all summarizing the 1964 Topps baseball coins. They also did a nice article on 7-Eleven WHA Slurpee Cups from the 70s. I remember that growing up. We had a 7-Eleven in my neighborhood, and we used to go down and get Slurpees all the time, and I got baseball cups and hockey cups, and they had a WHA series, which is kind of scarce, but Sports Collectors Digest did a nice article on that. Also, on Sports Collectors Daily, they did a great article on the 1968 NFL Topps football set, which was a fun article to reminisce about the set. There's a nice Joe Namath card in there. Talks about all the inserts, and it's kind of cool, a cool look at the 1968 set. So that's on Sports Collectors Daily. Couple other things of note, the 2020 Topps Minor League Heritage set, that's going to look like the 1971 set, is going to be out this fall. I know Topps and Panini had ceased production with the coronavirus, so I'm not sure if they've gotten back up to printing yet or making cards, but they will schedule for the fall release of the 2020 Topps Minor League Heritage set, and that's always a nice set to get, and to get a bunch of cards, because those are great cards to send out for autographs. And lastly, this is just rumor. This has not been confirmed. This is just something that I've seen kind of out there posting regarding the upcoming National show that's scheduled for the end of July, beginning of August in Atlantic City. I've heard that it is going to be moved to sometime in October because of the coronavirus and the pandemic that we are in. And so that has not been confirmed. It has not been posted yet, but just kind of a heads up, I think the National is going to be rescheduled for sometime in October. So hopefully they'll have something up fairly soon, because we're getting closer and closer to the time that the National will be supposed to be held in end of July, beginning of August. But again, I heard that is going to get rescheduled for October. And one other thing, a local show that was scheduled for April and got rescheduled for June, the Rich Altman show that's held at the Wilmington Shriners Auditorium, is scheduled for the beginning of June. I'm kind of doubting that they're going to be able to go with that, the way things are going on in Massachusetts and trying to get guests to travel and to sign. So I'm hoping it goes off, but right now it is still scheduled for the beginning of June, and I'll keep you posted if I hear anything on that. And now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. The Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who had passed away, as you know, prior to me sending out a TTM request to him. And I was kind of embarrassed having sent a request to him and his family. And actually, if you heard, maybe on about a month ago, I had Vern Rapp's daughter on, and we kind of talked about her dad and talked about my faux pas. And so I have this Vern Rapp Minute dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, and this just kind of gives you a heads up of people in sports and in entertainment who have recently passed, so that you don't make the same mistakes sending out a TTM request to these people. So in the world of entertainment, we lost Brian Dennehy, who was a star of Tommy Boy and Ratatouille, and he was in Silverado, and he was basically a really famous character actor all through from the 70s on up. And Bill Simmons and the Rewatchables just did a great rewatchable on Tommy Boy. If you like Tommy Boy, Bill Simmons and his crew do a great job kind of talking about the movie and the stars and all the what makes a movie great and what things were outdated, and it's a great take. So Brian Dennehy, who played the dad on Tommy Boy, had recently passed, and I recommend you go checking out Bill Simmons and the Rewatchables. He is on at theringer.com, and you can find all his podcasts right there under the Rewatchables. In the world of baseball, we lost a few people in the past 2 weeks. I didn't have a show last week, so Some of these have been in the news. Some of these are kind of lesser known players, but who had recently passed. So we lost Mr. Al Kaline, who was a great friend of the hobby. He was signing for years and years. He passed away. Obviously, he played his whole career with the Tigers. He's a Hall of Famer, and he was 85 years old. We lost Mr. Glenn Beckett. Beckert, sorry, Glenn Beckert, who was a star, was the Chicago Cubs from 1965 to 1975, a second baseman. And he was a member of that 1969 Chicago Cubs team that that fell short. And he was a legend in Chicago, and we lost Mr. Beckert. In addition, Damaso Garcia, who played for the Toronto Blue Jays in the late 70s and early 80s, he was second baseman, he passed away. We just lost today Mr. Bobby Winkles, who was a manager for UCLA and had Reggie Jackson and a bunch of other famous players on his team. And he ended up, he was actually a manager with the Oakland A's and the California Angels in the late 70s and early 80s. So Mr. Winkles was 90 years old. And a couple other people we lost John Matias. John played just 1 year for the Chicago White Sox, and he was featured in a 1971 top set. And he played 25 games for the White Sox in 1970. He was an outfielder, and he passed recently. And we also lost Jim Baugh. Bogler, who was played from 1950 to 1959 for various teams. His nickname was Dutch, and he played for the Cubs, and he was featured in a few cards during his career, including the 1959 Topps card, which was number 29. So unfortunately, we lost a bunch of people, including friends to the hobby. I know Mr. Winkles signed. I know Mr. Beckert was a signer through TTM. And I've seen autographs of, and I know Jim Blago was actually somebody that signed through TTM. And I've seen some autographs of John Matias and Damaso Garcia as well. So we lost some good people, good friends to the hobby, and condolences. In the world of football, we lost a few people in the past 2 weeks as well. We lost Tom Dempsey, who was a kicker for the Saints and a few other teams from 1969 to 1979, passed away. He was 73 years old. And of course, Tom was known for having the longest field goal for a while. I think he still holds the record, is tied, I think, with Jason Elam. So Mr. Dempsey passed away. We lost Timmy Brown, who was a running back for the Philadelphia Eagles. He was 82 years old. He played from 1959 to 1968. We lost Bobby Mitchell who was a halfback and wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns and Washington Redskins. He was 84 years old. He played from 58 until 68. We lost Pete Retzlaff, who was a halfback and tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles back in the 50s and early 60s, and he was 88 years old. We lost Travarius Jackson, who passed away from a car accident. He was only 36. He was a backup quarterback. He played quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. And lastly, we lost Willie Davis, who played on the first two Super Bowl teams with the Green Bay Packers. He was 85. So it was a big list this week, and my condolences go out to their families, and we're sorry for your loss. And now on to returns. We've had a bunch of returns the past 2 weeks. I've been starting to send out stuff despite the coronavirus and our pandemic and being shut in. But let me run down a bunch of returns that I got. So for my 1978 set, I got Sid Mongey from the Cleveland Indians. I got Tim McCarver from the Philadelphia Phillies. We've got Amos Otis from the Kansas City Royals, and Mr. Tom Griffin, who's a pitcher for the San Diego Padres. All those were sent out and took 2 to 3 weeks. There was no real delay in them, and they all had nice autographs, nice black Sharpie or blue Sharpie, all nice additions to my 1978 top set. Sid Mongey actually sent out a 1977 card as well. He included that, and he signed that in the blue Sharpie, and he actually included two postcards as well. So four returns from Sid Mongey in certainly less than 2 weeks. Some other baseball cards that I got back, I got Wade Boggs from the Boston Red Sox, Hall of Famer, on a 1984 Topps card. He signed a nice blue Sharpie. Very happy to get that. Less than 2 weeks on that one. Reggie Jefferson on a couple of Topps. He's in Cleveland Indians. This is a 93 Topps and I think a 92 Topps. So a 92 Topps and 93 Topps. Signed by Reggie Jefferson in black Sharpie. Took, I don't know, this one took maybe 2 months. That one took a little while to get back. I got Toby Hara. I had a couple of Toby Hara cards already signed last year, but I come across this 1973 Toby Hara card when I was sorting through cards and sent it out to him. And in less than 2 weeks, he signed it, nice blue Sharpie across the front. So very, very happy. I like the 73 cards. I have the whole set. And I've been sending out a bunch of doubles. And I had a double of Toby Hara, so I sent it out. I sent out to Dick Bosman, who played for the Oakland A's and the Senators. He was a pitcher. A 1976 top set, and he signed it nice blue right across. And that one took like less than 2 weeks as well. I got Justin Masterson on a 2013 Topps card. I had sent one out to Justin Masterson maybe like 2 months ago, and I got an RTS. And then I saw that he signed, and it was a different address than I had sent it to him. So I sent it to him a couple weeks ago, and he signed it back. Signed it nice blue Sharpie with a blue, like a biblical verse underneath. So, very happy. I was always a big fan of Justin Masterson when he played for the Red Sox, and I didn't have Red Sox card of him, but I did have one of Indians, and that was really nice to get back. For football, I got Mark Mosley, who was a kicker for the Washington Redskins, on a 1978 Topps card. Mr. Mosley signed it with his number and MVP 1982, and was very happy. Great signature, and the card was in good shape, so I'm happy to get that back. I had been I've been holding this card for a little while. I don't know why. And then a couple weeks ago when I was going through cards, I was like, oh, I should send that one out because I see he's signing. So I was kind of glad to get that. And then also I got let's see, two cards returned for my 1992 game day set that were signed. And then I got three in a trade with a fellow collector. So I got Robert Clark, who played for the Miami Dolphins. Signed a nice black Sharpie right across the bottom. That was very happy. And then, surprise, surprise, I got Jerry Rice, the greatest wide receiver of all time, on my 92 game day set. And that took probably a year and a half, but very nice, bold signature with a black Sharpie. And it looks great on the card. So ecstatic to get that back. And then I made a trade. I traded some cards. I had a couple of doubles autograph cards. I had sent a Phil Sims and Ernst Biner and a couple other cards to a fellow collector. And I got Dan McGuire, Mark Rippon, and Warren Moon, all autographed game day cards that he had either had doubles with or had obtained and was kind enough to help me out with my set. So I'm at about like 236, 237 right now of 500 for the game day set, and I've got a bunch coming in, and I have a few more out there. So I really like to get out to up to 250 in the next couple weeks, which is a halfway point, and then I think I'm going to be to the point where I'm going to be at a point where most of these guys don't sign or are tough autographs, but we'll see. Having fun. So I haven't had, I'm going to send some stuff out next week. I did not send anything out this past week, just because I was busy with work. I've been working from home like everyone else, but we got a lot of things going on at work, and it's been really busy, so I didn't have time to do much TTM and per se, but looking forward to sending some more stuff out next week. And for our final segment, as I said at the beginning, I have a fun interview with Bill from Brave Star Cards. Bill has fun posts almost every day on Instagram and on his website, and he has all sorts of neat things to talk about in regards to things that he's collecting and TTMing in the hobby. So hopefully you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline from his home sequestered in Virginia is coming back to the program is Bill from Brave Star Cards. Welcome back, Bill.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bill, you had the honor of, I think you were my second guest when I first started this program about now a year and a half ago. So it's great to kind of get a chance to catch up with you. You're always out there on all various sites, and you're a big proponent of TTMing, and it's great to kind of catch up and see what you're doing. So welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So now you've got a lot of stuff going on that you've been posting lately. You haven't let this coronavirus slow you down. What made you decide to keep on going?
So I did actually stop for a little bit, but the way that I do my posts online, I post one thing a day. So I tend to have a backlog of things that I'm ready to post. I've been doing pretty well this year, so I've got quite a backlog, which is good. But one of the things that I decided to do a couple weeks ago, well, I'd like to say I decided to do it, but really, like, what I did was I sort of let my supplies for TTMing run out. I ran out of envelopes, and I decided I'd let that determine, like, when I stopped. So I was about a week and a half or 2 weeks where I did not send out anything. And I slowly ramped back up again, but with the way I post just once a day, or a TTM once a day, at least, or, you know, somewhat recent success, I kind of have enough stuff to keep my posting active all the time. So
now how many are you sending out a week, do you think?
Now it's lesser, but like during a normal time, it's probably between 10 to 15 out a week. I was noticing this the other day. I see a lot of folks post like, hey, like I'm sending out a load of a new batch of TTMs, and they'll have like 30 envelopes ready to go. And I actually like throw like one or two in my mailbox a day for the mailman to pick up.
Okay.
So I tend to send them out like, every day there's something mailed out, and hopefully every day there's something coming back in.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I've been sending out, 6 to 10 a week, mm-hmm. not too much. I've kind of hit the point where most of the guys that sign, I've gotten them.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I'm not a big guy like, I need seven of the same guy. If I have one or two of a guy, that is kind of suffice for me, unless it's a guy that I'm going after one of my sets. So I've been really picky in terms of who I send out, because if a guy, a lot of these guys that continually, signing all the time, I'm not out there going after them.
See, and I'm a little bit the opposite, right? Like, I'll send out anything I can to get signed. but
I had a 73 Toby Harrah. I was sorting through cards, about a week ago, week and a half ago. And I saw it, and I was like, I'll send that out. But I have, like, five Toby Harrahs, mm-hmm. that I've gotten over the last couple of years. And I felt kind of bad sending it out to him. I think it was probably my third request for him in 2 years. And I felt kind of bad, but I was like, it's kind of nice. It's a nice card, and he signed it. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think the cards that I want to send out are enough that I probably don't send out to a guy more than once a year if I'm going to resend to him. I will say that there are some guys that they sign so fast, and they're so willing to sign stuff that I probably will hit them a little more. If there's cards I don't have signed from them, but yeah, I usually don't mind getting anything signed. So
True. Now, are you still going out and picking up cards, on eBay or getting lots for stuff to send out, or you just got enough inventory that you don't really have to go out and look for cards?
So I do have enough inventory, but it's a matter of whether or not I have new inventory. So the guys that I don't have yet. Right. And I'm trying to do more of that. Right. Than the repeats. It was funny the week before all this stuff happened, where we had the stay in place order in Virginia. When those started going out, we had two. I hadn't been to a card show in forever. And we had two card shows within a week. And the second one ended up getting canceled. The first one I went to, it was like right on the edge of whether or not I should probably go or not. I did. And I got a ton of great cards and I only looked through like the dime boxes. This guy gave me a great deal. So I did that. And since maybe the fall, I've been getting like a bunch of wax boxes to go through. I'm trying to get more wax boxes from a time I didn't collect as much, like mid to late 90s, early 2000s. So I was able to get a couple of those, and I've been with all this going on, I've been kind of slowly opening those, which I mean, I'll go through them and pull like stacks, like 3-inch tall stacks of like, wow, these are cards I've never gotten signed. This is great. So I've sort of replenished my stock of what I want to get, not what I want to get signed, but what I could potentially throw in the mail. So that's been nice. And then I use those, I try to post, when I go through those cards and just sort of look back at those old sets and everything like that as some other content for my site.
Yeah, no, I've noticed, on your site, we're talking with Bill from Brave Star Cards. He's at bravestarcards.com. He is on Twitter at Brave Star Cards, Bill?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep, Brave Star, star with two R's. Yep. And then Instagram as well. Yep.
Instagram. So I recommend guys go checking out Bill's site if you haven't checked it out. He always has really humorous anecdotes about the cards and about the players, and I like some of the newer stuff that you've been doing in terms of pack breaks and box breaks and card reviews and that kind of stuff. So where did that idea come from?
Really, just a way to keep things fresh. I'm opening that stuff up anyway, and I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm not going to try to pretend like I might like that I have some kind of groundbreakingly different thoughts from somebody else, maybe on a new set or an old set. But I like to look back at that stuff, and I just like to kind of put my thoughts out there on the designs, or, maybe it's, I always try to find something funny in the cards. There's always some great pictures where, I just find it funny when you probably have so many pictures of these guys, right? And yet you pick the guy they pick the picture of the guy who's sliding into second on an attempted steal, and he's obviously out. Right? It's like, why would this happen? I found a picture the other day in one of the sets. I don't think I've posted it yet, but I found a picture of like Darren Jackson, and he's like obviously dropping a ball in the outfield. It's completely obvious that's happening in the picture. And I'm like, we probably could have found a better picture of Darren Jackson to put in there.
Yeah, the top sets back in the in the early 70s, that 73 set has many weird pictures.
Yeah.
They pick. In fact, I'll tell a sad story that I haven't told. I met Steve Garvey, I don't know, at the card show kept here in Massachusetts a little while ago. And this was back in the fall. So I went and I asked him to be interviewed for the show. He said, yeah, no problem. And then I emailed him back and forth for like 6 months, and I finally got him. I finally got his phone number, and he gave me a date, and I called him up, and I did the interview. And then like 2 weeks later, I went to edit the interview, and it was nothing was there. It was crickets, literally crickets. And I can't bring myself to call Steve Garvey or email him and say, hey, Mr. Garvey, I lost the interview. I was so embarrassed. But I was one of the things that he mentioned when I was talking to him, that his mother brought up, his 1973 card has a picture of Wes Parker. Steve Garvey had hit a home run, and he's coming across, going cross on play, if you remember. And Wes Parker's right in front of him, so you really can't see him. And his mother always busts on him that – that's Wes Parker's car, not his.
Right, exactly. That 73 has some great shots like that, yeah. So,
but it was, there's just so many, I think that's, it's fun, and I think you have a real fresh, fun outlook on it. I love reading your posts. Have you been involved in any of the case breaks? You know, there's all sorts of case breaks out there where you can buy a slot and get a case break on, you know, on YouTube or on the Break Exchange or anything. Have you been involved in any of that?
No, I don't normally do that. I think the main reason is I'm probably too cheap to do it. but I like watching them and seeing, you know, just seeing what comes out of everything. But yeah, I don't tend to do that. I just get my own cheap boxes and break those. So
I'm kind of the same way. You know what? The case breaks turn me off more than they turn me onto a product. Mm-hmm. You know, I've watched some of these high end products that these guys break open. You know, they're $1,500 and there's, you know, 8 cards in the case or whatever. And I'm like, why would you pay all that money for it? You know, you have one card out of, you know, 10 cases is a card that you'd really want. And then the rest of them are like, why would you pay all that kind of money for these cards? It's a little strange.
Yeah. I was in a card shop probably a year or two ago, and I got a Topps Heritage or Archives, Topps Archives box where you buy a box and it's a guaranteed, it's one autograph in there.
Yeah, for like right? $60 or something, right?
Yeah. I think it was more than... Yeah, I can't remember how much it was. It was too much money for what I opened up, and I was just sort of like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that again."
Yeah, I don't know if you subscribe to the Jabs Family Guy. He's on YouTube, and he does a video like every day, basically. And I watch these cases that he's breaking, and it's just like, why would I don't know. I can't bring myself to gambling on this stuff.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah, definitely feels like more of a gamble to me. And not that, you know, not that I'm spending my money on anything important, but I go with what I like, you know.
Yeah. Now, you did a nice post on the 2020 Topps Heritage set, you know, a couple weeks ago, right? You bought a blaster box and did you like that? Do you like that Topps Heritage cards overall?
Yeah, I always like the 71 design. So I think we're really coming into, from a heritage perspective, the designs that are some of my, you know, my favorites of the 70s. And so it makes it interesting. I will say that I think one of my points all the time with heritage is not a problem with heritage per se, but with the way that other throwback designs have gone, and maybe like heritage is to blame in being successful in a way, right? Is that with heritage being successful, that brings about archives, right? And then archives has 3 different designs in it or whatever, and then that brings about the insert set in every new release that's like, you know, this year it's what, 84 tops or 85 tops, right? So you know, it's maybe Heritage created a monster, but it's sort of like going through those, you know, opening and seeing those designs, while I like it, it also kind of sours me on that idea. So I feel bad in a way, right? Because I do like Heritage. I especially like Heritage because it's one of my favorite card I shouldn't say card designs because I don't even worry about the design, but it's one of my favorite card stocks to get autographed. It always takes an autograph really well.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think I love the designs as well. And, you know, I like the Westman 2018, which is the 1969 design, mm-hmm. and last year was 70. So, yeah, I love those cards because they're nice and clean and it doesn't have that gloss on them like that the new cards have.
Right.
You can send those out for TTM. I did a ton of the 2018 Heritage. I really like that.
Yeah. I don't send out as many new guys, and I had a terrible time and terrible returns for this spring training. But if I do, I'm always looking for Heritage cards to send out.
Yeah, I didn't do that well in last year's spring training, so I think I might have sent out two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm training this year. I just said, I'm not going to, because you get thrown in the fray and then sometimes you get back, sometimes you don't. It's the same, you know, 20 to 30 guys that are signing. It seemed fruitless.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Now, you've been doing a lot on Twitter lately, and I'm not a big Twitter guy. Do you like Twitter better than Instagram, or it's just another vehicle for you to get your message out?
I find them a little different. So I like photography and things like that in general. So for that reason, I think I like the idea of Instagram better, and I like, in from a personal perspective, I prefer Instagram from the, I mean, I just like looking at pictures. You know, when I think about how I use Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, I mean, if I'm on Facebook, right, I'm probably looking for people's pictures anyway. So I like it. So in a way, like personally for me, Instagram kind of cuts to the chase, and I like to take pictures, you know, neat pictures, and try to do fun things with them. But I like that for that reason. But there are definitely some folks on Twitter, you know, that I have a good time with, and that are, you know, that make Twitter a good time. And I just try to stay out of anything that either gets me riled up or you know, would get me into trouble. And I just use it as I just try to be funny, and that's,
yep,
that's about it. And my, you know, my funny is dad jokes galore. So there you go.
You and I have the same type of humor. So that's why,
yeah.
I enjoy your posts. Now, how about, are you on any of the groups on Facebook? There are a lot of good TTM groups on Facebook.
You know what? I haven't. And I was, you know, I know you've been talking about that more lately too, about some of those groups that you were part of. And I haven't joined any, and some of it's just because of, like, I don't want to say it's a whole lot of work to post my stuff every day, because it's not, but I do it during the workday, so sometimes I feel like it is.
Yeah.
So sometimes I just kind of feel like it's so much to keep up with everything, that I'm not a guy who's like sitting on Twitter all day. Not that everybody else is, but I'm not like sitting out there all day waiting for somebody to say something to react to. You know, I kind of jump on these things when I am able to, and then go from there. So it's almost like I have so much to keep up with too. And then I just haven't gotten into anything else.
Well, I found Instagram guys aren't as responsive. Maybe
right.
Because there's so much posted out there. But the Facebook guys, I'm in probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 TTM groups and a couple of, like, vintage pack groups just because that's what I like. Mm-hmm. And these guys are really responsive. And, you know, I've met a lot of cool guys from the different groups. So you might want to check it out. They're really good. It's a little more people selling stuff, which sometimes
sure.
is not what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't mind because there is a lot of different posts, and it's not I really like Instagram, but it was the same, you know, I get my 50 to 80 likes on mm-hmm. Instagram all the time. And then Facebook, you get a different group of guys and you get a different bunch of posts.
Yeah.
And Instagram seems to be a lot of the same guys that are posting on the, you know, Sports Card Forum or on the Sports Collectors Network. Those are the same posts. So you get some different feedback on Facebook that you might not get anywhere else. That's all.
That's true. That's a good way to think about it.
So it's fun. Now, do you have any white whales that you're going after in terms of guys that you really like to get this year and people that you like? I really want to get so and so. You know, I got a Jerry Rice the other day.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's awesome.
I did it on a whim. I think a year and a half ago I saw that he was signing or he had those one success and I sent it out.
Yep.
I think I ever saw it again, and it came back, and it looks real. So I had a couple people ask me, and I guess he is following up on his fan mail now. But is there anyone out there that you really, really want to get?
You know what? I think there are. For some reason, I'm blanking on some names. But I have sent a few out recently where there's guys that just I feel like I don't get them back for some reason. And I'm trying to think of some of those guys that I was thinking of lately. I was just thinking about that the other day. Somebody had posted something out there about that. But now I'm kind of blanking on on who those guys were.
I have one out to Aaron Judge that's about a year and a half, and I'd really like to see that come back. But I see he does sign every once in a while.
Yeah. Yep. I have seen that. I'm trying to see if there's a guy. I'm trying to look through what I've sent out like somewhat recently, but I don't know that there's anybody that. There are definitely guys that sort of. I want to say it frustrates me. It's not about them. It's just that it's like, oh man, I see a bunch of other people get that back. How come I couldn't?
Yeah.
So, you know what? A more recent guy, I would say Troy Tulowitzki. I'm trying to. I was looking at it the other day, and I was looking at. I'm sort of working on an idea for like a certain series of posts. And I was realizing that I don't have a lot of cards with Diamondbacks, Marlins, Rockies, Rays, right? Like the expansion teams
yeah.
from, you know, the last 30 years or whatever. And so I started realizing that, and I'm trying to go after some more of those guys to collect. And he was a guy who I'd seen sign a bunch lately, and you know, there's different addresses for him. So I've been sort of wondering. I think I just sent one out. I don't want to send, you know, a ton out at the same time. But I'm, you know, you sort of get that like, well, when should I try again? You know?
Yep. So. I sent out two times to him, and I got RTS on both of them.
Mm.
I saw he signed something, and I found another address for him, and I sent it, and it worked.
Nice.
So I got him back. I'm kind of like you. I don't have a lot of Rockies. I had a bunch for some reason. A lot of the Tampa Bay Rays, Devil Rays, whatever we call them nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
They the current guys were signing. Like
yeah.
Snell and some of those guys. So I had some recent guys on those, but I lived in Arizona. I was actually used to go to the Diamondback games all the time, and I bet I don't have more than one or two Diamondbacks.
Yeah. You know, and another guy just thinking about that, and I think I might even have followed up with you for an address, was Phil Sims. Like, as a Giants fan,
yeah,
like that's one I want, right? And I think I've sent to him a couple times over the years and just never gotten anything back. So that would be probably another guy that I would put in that white whale category for me.
Phil Sims is my anti Archie Manning. I think I sent five to him, and he signed every time.
Nice. See, and I've probably sent two or three and never had gotten anything back.
Yeah,
so.
I think you have to time it right, and it just happened.
Yeah.
And it was I sent a game day card because I hadn't got him signed a game day card, and then I was flipping through cards one time, and I saw a couple tops that I wanted to get signed, so I signed him a couple. And then I think somebody, like my brother-in-law or somebody, asked me for, oh, can you get me Phil Sims autograph? So I sent the card in to him, and I think it was just...
That's what I need to do. I need you to get to send in my card.
I just had really good luck with him, so I can't say enough good things about Phil Sims. Cause,
there you go.
When he was playing, I wasn't a huge fan of him, obviously, but I respected him as a player because he was a pretty good quarterback.
He's a tough dude too. He sat in there for a lot of hits.
And I actually like him on TV. I think he does well on TV.
Yeah. You were talking, you know what, you brought up that game day set that you're going through. I love you getting those signs. Like, those are some of my favorite cards to see signed. I've really been liking following your progress on that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm at like 240 right now.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Just check. I got Robert Clark, who played for the Miami Dolphins. I just got him the other day. I haven't posted that one. So
now, have you gotten all those TTM, or have you had to purchase any of those? Gotcha.
No,
that's awesome.
I got I had made a purchase when I first started of about, I don't know, 40, 50 cards from a guy. And I've got a couple in person. I got Lawrence Taylor and Roman Pfeiffer in person.
But nice.
The rest of them were all on the TTM.
That's great.
Yeah, so I'd say 85% of them are TTM.
Yeah. That's great.
I'm not sure where I am, and I've got to go through the list, and because I just have the master list of all, you know, I check them off as I get them, probably like you do. But I don't. I should break it down to my needs list and start working from there. Because there are some guys that passed away, and I'm sure I need them. And then there's some guys that are tough, and the guys that charge. So really, there's not. Maybe one or two guys that I've actually sent money to. I sent Jim Cott money because I knew that was going to charity. Peyton Manning, I sent money because I wanted him for charity, but I usually don't pay. So, I don't mind paying face-to-face because then I can shake their hands and get a picture with them and maybe get him on the show.
Right, there you go.
But I don't usually like to pay, and the football guys don't charge as much as the baseball guys, so.
Yeah, I think I found that. But I would also say that I think there's just way more guys that I feel like there's a lot more guys that sign baseball-wise, but maybe, I mean, I don't know if that's because it's a little bit more of a tradition, let's say, from a baseball side of things or not, but yeah, I think, so I started getting into basketball a little bit, too.
Yes, and I applied for that.
Yeah, and then I need to get into hockey as well, but that was one of my goals for this year, is to kind of break into hockey as well. But I think my only problem with hockey is that I tend to send out, you know, multiple cards and to guys, which is fun. Like, I don't mind sending one card to a guy, especially if I know he only signs one at a time. But I don't have that many hockey doubles, and that's usually what I'm sending.
Yeah.
So I think that's my challenge there. So.
Yeah, and the thing about hockey is that half the guys are still in Canada. So I
Oh yeah.
Canada. I have I I have a ton of inventory of hockey cards from, you know, 77, 78, 79, 80 when I was a kid. And mm-hmm. I have like five of every card basically, because my dad owned a drugstore when I was a kid. So just bring home boxes of cards for me and my younger brother. And we were really into hockey because the Bruins were very hot back then, if you remember.
Sure, yeah.
With Phil Esposito and Bob Uecker and all. And
yep.
So I had a ton of cards, but I've been trying to get some of the old Bruins.
Nice.
But other than that, I do. If I see a hockey guy that's signing that, from the 70s, I do try to send out if he's a U.S. guy.
Sure.
So what else do you have planned? Anything new for your site, or any new features that you'd like to promote? Or
so right now, I'm going to continue doing some box breaks. I'm posting probably about like once a week, usually midweek for those. One of the things that I started this year was a little more of a review post. So if you're following me on a regular basis, you might go to the site and check things out. But if you kind of lose me for a week, on Sunday nights, I usually post a review of what I did the week before. So it's an easy place to get a few links back to things you might want to see. And then I try to do a little preview of the next week without actually telling you what those things are. And again, this is easy to do because I have a backlog, so I know what I have lined up. So I'm probably going to do a few more box breaks. I'm trying to plan some other things too. They just haven't panned out for me yet, but I'm hoping to break into a couple other kind of posts. Different posts for me. I think the other thing too is I've been showing a little more, not that I have a tremendous amount of memorabilia, but or of just, you know, I'd say non-cards, but I'm trying to show a little more of that too. I'll have something interesting. Well, it's definitely interesting for me as a Mets fan, but my family's been, they get me, like, they're going through my grandparents' house and finding things that my grandfather had. And every once in a while, they'll be like, hey, check this out, right? And it'll be like a newspaper from whenever, or, you know, maybe it's some type of, Mets memorabilia from whenever. And they'll be like, we know you want it, so here you go. Right? So I try to post about those. And I think I have an interesting one coming up for that. I don't know when I'll get to it, but I'll be putting that up probably in the next couple of weeks. So.
Well, that kind of leads to the next question I was going to have. Is you've been accumulating all these TTMs for about a couple of years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have them in albums. You have them in boxes. Do you frame them up? Do you have a man cave where your wife says, okay, Bill, here's your room to decorate?
Yeah, so I have a room that I display things in. One thing I will say, though, is that, and this would be something that I caution others on, too, in displaying this stuff, right, is when you want to display those things, be really careful about where you're putting them. Is the sun going to damage them, right? Are they going to fade or get damaged that way somehow? And in the room that I put things in, I display scans of cards. I don't display the cards themselves because I don't want it. There's a ton of windows in this room and there's skylights in the room. And in the summer, the sun, like it's almost feel like it would be a magnifying glass. In my mind, it's like a magnifying glass on the cards.
Yeah. Just everything else.
Yeah. So I don't want to get those things damaged, but but I do scans of Sports Illustrated that I have signed and scans of cards that I have signed in displays, you know, in frames and things like that around the room, and some other things that I have from some of the teams that I follow. As far as how I store my TTMs, I have those in binders in the room, so that if, you know, if someone comes in, like if I have people come over and we're watching a game or something, people will just take those and flip through them. And then that generates conversation and things like that. But I have those in binders. I sort them by, year, set, or let's say year, manufacturer, set, and then team. So, you know, if you're looking through and you find my 84 Topps cards, they're all going to be like all my Mets cards together, all my Padres cards together, or whatever. So it's nice when someone can kind of, they know how to find their team, and kind of look through it that way. In ordering them like that, I tend to move them around a lot, which I shouldn't do as much. But I like that method of having them out. And, I listened to a podcast. I don't know if you know who John Hodgman is, but, one of the things he says is, the difference between a collection and I think a hoard is the way is how it's displayed, right? So if you display your stuff nicely and it's there to show off to people, that's a collection, right? And if you just kind of have it like boxed away, that's hoarding it. So I try to take that advice and allow people to see what I collect. So
that's good advice. I'm kind of halfway.
Yep.
Some stuff that I display, I don't have enough room. So
sure.
I have the one thing I have some stuff in number order, like sets or years or whatever, and then I have just boxes of TTM sorted by sport. So I'll have like a huge box of football TTMs, but they're all in top loaders.
Right.
And then I have some in binders, so I'm like all kind of all over the place. I thought this would get me back to organizing a little better, but it hasn't.
You know what, though? I went through phases like that where it was almost like I couldn't figure out how I wanted to do it. It started out because I lived in a place where I didn't have as much room, and you know, I couldn't show things off necessarily, and then. And now I do, but it allowed me to sort of play with them a little more and figure out, you know, and come to a way to show them off. I would like better binders and better pages. I need to invest in that, I think.
Yeah.
Next.
I think on this break, I'm going to invest in a lot of pages. I have about half a box of pages left, and I have my company had, no joke, probably had 300 empty binders that they were going to throw away, so I took them.
I take all those things. Yes, I do the same thing.
I have plenty of binders, really nice, like, you know, 2-inch white binders that you can put a slip sheet right in them. They're beautiful.
Yep, I love those.
we used to make literature binders with them. But we changed what we were doing, and then we stopped giving out as much literature, and we tried to donate the binders to some schools, and we told them you just got to come pick them up, but no one had a means to pick them up. And one day the owner just said, "You want them because we got to clean up the room. We need space."
Yeah.
Ours are
for like old proposals and training decks and things like that. That of course nobody uses the paper versions anymore. And if I'm walking around and I find a D ring, I'm on it. I don't care what size it is. I'll use it for something.
Well, we're speaking with Bill from Brave Star Cards. Bill is I recommend you go check out his website. Bill, you want to give the website out in your Instagram and.
Sure. Instagram and Twitter. Yep. Instagram and Twitter are at Brave Star Cards, and it's Brave Star, S-T-A-R-R, with two R's, Cards. And then the site is bravestarcards.com.
Yep. And if you want to find out why he's called Brave Star Cards, go listen to our first podcast, which was recorded last January. Yeah, January of 2019.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Interview was 2019. It's up on my site, ttmcast.com. You can go check out our my second interview, and you can find out why he is Brave Star Cards. So which is a fun story, and I didn't want to rehash stuff that we already talked about, but it is a fun story. Bill, I'll let you go. It was great catching up with you. It was fun to talk TTM and collecting with you. I love the stuff you're posting. You haven't lost any momentum since a year and a half ago. You're still going strong.
Well, I have a good time doing it, and I was really glad to be able to catch up with you. And it's good to hear your family's doing well through all this. And I hope everybody else's family's doing well and everybody's staying safe through all this. So
yeah, I wish health to you and your family as well. And I will. I'm sure we'll be in touch again.
Great. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host for the program. I can't believe we've made 50 episodes in a year and a half, so I want to thank you guys for hanging in with us, for your feedback, for your comments, for your support. I want to thank Bill from Brave Star Cards for joining us today. And as always, I want to wish you many happy returns.